Okay, let's unpack this. If you're involved in healthcare today, I mean, whether you're running a system, working on the front lines, or maybe just trying to navigate it as a patient, it feels like everything's changing all at once. Budgets are stretched thin, staff are, well, burnt out and often in short supply, and patients, they're looking for something totally different than the traditional model. How do leaders even get a handle on all this pressure?
It's a massive challenge. You could argue healthcare systems globally are really at sort of a turning point, trying to balance those immediate needs with the need to transform for the future.
Exactly. And that's why we wanted to do this deep dive into some, well, really fascinating source material you shared with us. We've pulled insights from reports by Deloitte Insights, Abhi Global Health, CFC, and Mecund with PwC. And together, these sources give us a really sharp picture, I think, of what top healthcare leaders and experts are thinking about right now for 2025 and, looking ahead, especially when it comes to technology and its role.
They really do highlight how technology, particularly AI, is seen not just as a tool, but maybe as central to solving some of these fundamental issues.
So our mission today is basically to distill the most important nuggets from these reports. We want to give you the shortcut, if you will, to understanding the global pulse of healthcare right now, the absolute top priorities, the biggest opportunities everyone's chasing, and the serious risks keeping people up at night.
Okay, let's jump in with those priorities then. The Deloitte survey, this was of C-suite execs across five different countries, it makes it pretty clear. Their top three priorities for 2025 are boosting efficiency, increasing productivity, and improving patient engagement.
And they're not just talking about it, right? They're acting. The reports show over 70% of these leaders are specifically making operational efficiencies and productivity gains a top focus. That number, it really jumps out when you see it.
It does, and it makes total sense when you consider the environment they're operating in. You know, really tight budgets, the persistent challenge of staff shortages. Oh, yeah. Clinician burnout is still a huge issue. The pressure to integrate new technologies fast, and those evolving patient expectations we mentioned earlier. Systems are under pressure from, well, every angle.
You mentioned staff shortages and burnout. Let's dig into that a bit more. How can technology realistically help when you just don't have enough people?
Well, this is where some of the data gets really interesting. Deloitte's modeling suggests that simply implementing the right technology could free up a significant amount of time for nurses. We're talking somewhere between like 13% and 21% of their day.
Wow, 13 to 21%. That's like giving someone back a chunk of their week. What does that actually translate to in hours?
For a single nurse, that could be anywhere from 240 to 400 hours per year. Think about that. And some U.S. research cited suggests even relatively simple digital tools could cut time spent on purely administrative tasks by maybe 20%.
So the goal isn't necessarily fewer people, but giving the people you do have more capacity, letting them focus on what they were trained to do, care for patients.
Exactly. Using tech to offload the low-value administrative stuff. And the reports connect this directly to staff well-being. 67% of the leaders surveyed say investing in staff mental health and overall well-being is important.
That's good to hear.
And even those modest time savings from tech can make a real difference in reducing crushing workloads and, long hours.
But I can imagine staff might be, well, they might be wary. They might worry technology means job cuts, maybe, or maybe they worry it will pull them away from the patient interaction they value.
That's a crucial point the sources emphasize. It's not just about deploying the tech, it's about how you do it. Educating clinicians on the value the technology provides to them, showing how it makes them more efficient, gives them more time with patients, rather than replacing them, that's key to getting buy-in.
Makes sense.
And they also point out that technology works best when paired with non-tech solutions, like redesigning workflows or even improving the physical space. It's part of a bigger picture.
Okay, let's pivot then from the staff to the patient. We live in a world where we can get pretty much anything on demand, right? Groceries, entertainment. But healthcare often still feels, well, clunky.
It really does. Today's patients, they expect healthcare to be more convenient, accessible when and where they need it. One report captured it well, I thought, saying healthcare is still fundamentally stuck in the paradigm of the appointment.
That really resonates. And it's interesting, the reports mention a bit of a disconnect with virtual health recently, don't they? In the US, some organizations actually started scaling back their virtual offerings, even as patient demand continued to accelerate.
That's right. The Deloitte survey found 65% of consumers find virtual care more convenient than coming in person. Part of the challenge, I think, is that for many organizations, virtual health was a rapid sort of temporary solution during COVID-19.
Right, a reaction.
Exactly. It wasn't always systematically integrated or built to last.
So how are healthcare systems planning to bridge that gap and meet these evolving expectations now?
Well, the key strategy coming out of the reports is really about meeting patients where they are.
Okay.
This means seriously evaluating and investing in alternative sites of care. Think virtual health platforms built for the long term, hospital-at-home programs, or maybe leveraging retail clinics. 63% of survey respondents expect significant investments in these kinds of options in 2025.
And what about digital tools beyond just, you know, video visits?
Oh, absolutely. Investing in broader digital platforms is seen as vital for patient engagement and well-being by nearly 3 out of 4 executives, that's 72%, according to the survey.
Wow.
These tools need to be user-friendly, accessible, and really designed with diverse patient populations in mind. And simple things, you know, like automating administrative workflows to cut down on those notoriously long wait times, That's also crucial for improving the overall patient experience.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, I think. How is AI specifically powering the shift towards more patient-centered care?
Right. AI is highlighted pretty consistently as the key technology enabling true personalization in medicine. The vision is a healthcare system that feels tailored to your specific needs.
Your needs.
Potentially leading to more effective treatments, maybe fewer side effects, and ultimately better health outcomes.
And it can even help support patients between those appointments. Is that the idea?
Exactly. AI-powered tools can provide personalized reminders, whether it's taking medication, scheduling follow-ups, or just nudging you towards preventive care, like vaccinations or screenings. This constant support between visits helps with adherence and managing overall health, Supplementing, not replacing, the relationship you have with your doctor.
So it's not just a cold, automated interaction we're talking about.
No, the report suggests the ideal approach isn't purely a chat bot or, you know, a traditional call center. It's blending the power of AI, its instant access and personalization capabilities, with human support when you need it, creating an experience that feels both convenient and trustworthy.
Got it. And AI isn't just for the patient. It's a tool for the people delivering the care, too, right?
That's a critical point. AI can significantly support clinical decision-making for healthcare providers and help streamline those burdensome administrative tasks we talked about.
Right.
This directly helps alleviate the pressure from global staff shortages and burnout. It can foster more efficient communication within care teams, allowing HCPs, that's healthcare professionals, to spend more time doing what they do best.
Okay, so we've talked about the opportunities and how technology can help, but it's definitely not all smooth sailing. Let's dive into the risks identified in these reports.
Yeah, the risks are significant, and cyber threats are right there at the top. The data from CFC, the insurer, shows that cybercrime is a major driver of claims in their portfolio. It accounts for a full third of their cyber claims.
One third. Wow. Why is healthcare such a prime target for cyber attacks?
Well, the sources point to several reasons. Healthcare systems are increasingly interconnected, which expands the places attackers can try to get in the attack surfaces, as they call it.
Okay.
There's also a lot of sensitive data spread across different platforms, and sometimes the lines of responsibility for protecting that data aren't perfectly clear.
And ransomware attacks seem particularly vicious when they hit a hospital or clinic. We hear about those.
They're devastating. Ransomware can completely paralyze a healthcare entity, blocking access to patient records, critical systems. Often, organizations feel forced to pay the ransom just to restore operations and protect patient data.
Yeah.
But the cost goes way beyond the ransom payment itself. You're looking at huge legal fees, massive income loss, severe damage to reputation, and often lawsuits from patients whose data was compromised. The reports really emphasize that specific cyber insurance is becoming absolutely essential, not just optional.
Okay. Beyond the technical risks, there's the tangled web of regulation.
Yes, the reports highlight that regulatory frameworks globally are really struggling to keep pace with the speed of technological change. Think about the complexities of, say, a doctor needing to consult on a patient across state or national borders.
Right.
Or AI diagnostic tools pushing the boundaries of existing medical device regulations. Regulatory costs and fines are actually a significant portion of claims for some insurers. The CFC data shows 11% of claims frequency is related to these issues.
11% just from regulatory issues.
Yeah. And the problem is compounded by fluctuating rules and overlapping jurisdictions, which make compliance incredibly difficult for organizations operating internationally.
And we're even seeing emerging risks in areas you might not immediately think of. Is that right?
Yeah. A really interesting example highlighted is the rapid increase in the use of GLP-1 medications for weight loss.
Oh, right. Those are everywhere now.
Exactly. The surge in demand, particularly with digital prescribing models, sometimes skipping traditional in-person evaluations, has led to increased regulatory scrutiny. And this is just about the potential for adverse reactions leading to traditional claims. Mm. The reports show it's triggering claims across multiple different policy types, including products, liability, and even issues related to marketing or advertising, sometimes falling outside standard medical malpractice entirely.
So risks like making sure the patient receiving the prescription is actually who they say they are, that becomes much bigger in that digital context.
Exactly. Issues like improper patient identification become much more critical and complex. And as AI gets more deeply integrated across healthcare, regulatory bodies around the world are, understandably, increasing their focus on its safety, security, and transparency. A major question everyone is grappling with is, who is actually responsible when an AI system makes an error?
Yeah, the accountability question.
Right. Regulatory frameworks are evolving globally to try and clarify this accountability, but they're doing so at different speeds.
Speaking of evolving frameworks, what do the reports say about the global regulatory landscape, specifically for AI in healthcare? Is there any consensus emerging?
Well, the general trend seems to be a recognized need for more global consistency, a focus on ethical considerations, societal impact, and ensuring the quality of the data AI systems are trained on. Consistency across different regulatory agencies within a country, and ideally across countries, is seen as crucial.
Can you give us a sense of how different regions are approaching this, like the EU?
Sure. The EU, for example, is taking a broad horizontal approach with its AI Act, which applies across many sectors, including healthcare.
Okay.
For high-risk applications like AI medical devices, the Act requires things like rigorous conformity assessments, thorough risk management, ensuring high-quality training data to minimize bias, keeping logs for traceability, clear documentation, ensuring there's meaningful human oversight, and building in robustness and security.
That sounds comprehensive.
It is. The implementation is phased starting in late 2024. With transition periods for medical technology, it's expected to be around 36 months.
And the U.S. approach, is it similar?
The U.S. has a more fragmented approach currently, utilizing existing laws and developing new guidelines. Examples include using the FTC Act to address deceptive AI practices like deepfakes, draft legislation like the Algorithmic Accountability Act, voluntary frameworks like the NIST AI Risk Management Framework, and broader policy blueprints like the Blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights. So less centralized than the EU's AI Act.
How does that compare to other parts of the world mentioned in the sources, MENA or Africa?
Yeah, the MENA region, for instance, is heavily focused on data protection and establishing ethical guidelines as they build their AI capabilities. Countries like the UAE are actively fostering AI-friendly environments with clear ethics principles, while Saudi Arabia have a national strategy for data and AI and a specific personal data protection law. Mm-hmm. The African Union's digital transformation strategy also highlights ethical AI and data protection. But the challenge for organizations operating globally, as we noted, is navigating these different approaches and speeds of evolution simultaneously. It's complex.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. All this talk of technology and regulation naturally brings up the human element, specifically building trust. The reports touch on the ethical and social challenges that need to be addressed for people to actually, you know, trust AI in healthcare.
Absolutely. And that's critical. Yeah. The sources discuss concerns like potential biases and unintended discrimination baked into algorithms.
Right. That's a big one.
Huge. Also, maintaining meaningful human control and oversight, ensuring the quality and security of sensitive health data, clarifying accountability when things go wrong, providing transparency into how AI makes decisions, figuring out data ownership, and ultimately fostering trust with both patients and the healthcare providers using these tools.
So what strategies are experts recommending to build that essential trust? It sounds like a tall order.
Well, one key recommendation is establishing multidisciplinary ethics boards for AI projects within organizations. These boards, ideally including people from ethics, law, healthcare practice, technology, they should conduct comprehensive ethical evaluations before AI systems are put into practice.
So oversight from the start. And transparency. That seems non-negotiable for trust.
It's critical. Experts suggest proactively publishing reports on how AI is performing and how decisions are made, creating clear, user-friendly explanations of how these tools work, and fostering open communication, maybe through presentations or community engagement.
And given the incredibly sensitive nature of health data, privacy and security must be absolutely foundational, right?
Absolutely essential. Rigorous data privacy and security measures are paramount. This means implementing strong policies for secure data sharing, utilizing techniques like anonymization or pseudonymization to protect patient identities, and ensuring stringent technical and organizational measures are in place. No shortcuts there.
It also sounds like getting patients themselves involved is crucial. They're the end users.
It's vital. Form inpatient advisory boards to provide input during the development process, actively involving patients in clinical trials. This can help ensure AI solutions are designed in a way that truly meets their needs and addresses their concerns, not just what technologists think they need.
Right. And finally, what about the data itself? The stuff that feeds the AI systems. Garbage in, garbage out, as they say.
Precisely. High-quality, standardized data is fundamental. There's a real need for universally accepted data standards to enable systems to talk to each other effectively, interoperability. And, critically, organizations need to actively curate diverse data sets that accurately reflect different demographics, health conditions, and populations.
Avoid bias.
Exactly. To train AI and actively work to prevent bias from creeping in. Initiatives that promote secure data sharing, like open data platforms, can potentially help improve transparency and access to diverse training data, but it needs careful governance.
Okay, wow. Pulling all of these threads together then, what are the most important takeaways for organizations, for leaders listening who are looking to successfully adopt AI and other technology in healthcare?
Okay, first and foremost, internal strategic alignment is absolutely key. This isn't just an IT project. Leaders across the organization need to be on board with clear accountability, dedicated budgets, realistic timelines, and well-defined metrics for measuring value.
So not just buying a shiny new piece of tech and hoping it magically works, needs a strategy.
Exactly. Second, the reports highlight the need for flexible, often custom solutions. There's probably no single technology that will fix everything. Solutions should be specifically tailored to address unique patient journeys and the organization's specific needs and, you know, brand identity.
And always keeping that human element in mind, yeah.
Absolutely. That's maybe third. The optimal solutions consistently blend the power of AI for efficiency, personalization, scale, with the necessary human touch for empathy, complex decision-making, and building trust. A purely automated solution often falls short in healthcare.
Makes sense. What else?
Fourth, organizations need to be smart about finding vendors. Look for trusted partners with a proven track record. They should be able to provide insights into their technology's effectiveness and how it truly fits into your strategy, and ideally, be willing to share some of the risk.
Okay, share the risk. Interesting. And once something is implemented, don't just set it and forget it.
Precisely. That's the fifth point. Organizations should insist on actionable, real-time data from their vendors about how the program is actually performing. This data is crucial for understanding adoption, tailoring support for staff or patients, identifying unexpected challenges quickly, and refining the strategy over time. Continuous improvement.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive into a healthcare landscape that, I mean, it feels like it's changing before our very eyes. Mm. We've covered the urgent need for efficiency and productivity, the shifting demands of patients looking for convenience.
Mm.
How technology, especially AI, is seen as a key lever to help overburden staff and personalize care.
The very real risks organizations face, from cyber threats and the sheer complexity of rapidly evolving regulations, to the crucial effort needed to build trust in AI through thoughtful design, transparency, and accountability. It's a lot.
It really is. It's clear that healthcare systems are navigating an incredibly dynamic environment, trying to balance these immediate operational pressures with the need to strategically embrace technology to, well, survive and ultimately thrive.
Yeah, those can innovate smartly, adopt technology strategically, and carefully navigate these multifaceted risks are undoubtedly the ones best positioned for success in the coming years.
So considering this intense drive for efficiency and productivity and the equally important, maybe even more complex, need to navigate regulatory frameworks and build genuine trust in these powerful new technologies, how will healthcare systems truly strike the right balance? How do they ensure that all this technological advancement genuinely serves everyone equitably and safely in the years ahead? It's a massive question for leaders, innovators, and policymakers around the world to grapple with.